request? Then make it. Want to interact with our DJs? You can. Go to Game Surge Radio Channel on IRC and let us know what you want to hear. We may not be able to make you win, but at least we'll make your getting blown to bits a little more fun. Game Surge Radio.
You're listening to the Half-Life 2 launch party here on Game Surge Radio. We're about to get ready to start with our natural selection interview. We have the top mod creators for natural selection, including Flayra here. Check out natural selection, www.natural-selection.org. Pound natural selection on Game Surge. We're going to start up that interview pretty shortly here with Anti and Renshai, I believe, are going to be helping out to host that, along with a lot of the HL2DB crew, like BlueWolf72, I believe. So it's going to be a good interview. It should be coming up just in a minute here. So stay where you are. We're going to be bringing that to you in just a second, as soon as I get the go. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, what you have been waiting for, we're bringing it to you right about now, the Natural Selection interviews. Here we are, we're here in the interview channel, we're here with Natural Selection. What's going on, Ante? I'll let you take it away.
Not much, and as Defi said, we're here with the Natural Selection crew, getting ready to ask them some questions. Getting some questions from you guys that we will relay on to them, and they'll try and answer them most as clearly as possible. I guess to start it all off, guys, please introduce yourselves and state your role to the Natural Selection team. We'll start off with Flayra, then go on down the line, I guess.
Hey, this is Flayra. My name's Charlie Cleveland, and I'm the designer and project lead for the game.
My name's Tyr Nemesis. I'm just known as Tyr around here. My real name is Daniel Fulcheri, and I'm the level design QA lead.
I'm Grep-V. My name is Joel Rubicam, and I'm the day manager. Oh, QA meaning quality assurance, not question and answer. Somebody sent me an email about that once.
Those guys actually do a lot more than just those two things, but those are technically their roles.
All right. So then, can you guys briefly explain your mod for those who don't really know about Natural Selection and those who might be interested in the upcoming Source release?
Sure, I guess I should do that. Natural Selection is a first-person shooter real-time strategy hybrid, which basically means, if you have no idea what that means, it's kind of like taking StarCraft and Quake and mixing them together. So you have up to 16 Marines versus up to 16 aliens, multiplayer only. One of the Marines can become commander. He can get a top-down view of the world and can give orders, kind of like StarCraft. Build weapons and research technologies and drop structures and things like that. And that's pretty much it, I guess.
I think the most important thing to keep in mind about the commander role too is that when you give those orders, you're giving orders to real players, not to any bots. So they may do what you want and they may not.
This makes NS one of the most teamwork-oriented games that exists currently. You definitely rely on the skills and cooperation of your teammates to succeed with your strategy, whether you're Marines or aliens.
Good one.
Alright, and while making this mod, what did you guys see the biggest challenge in making it for Half-Life 2 over making it for just regular Half-Life? And did you guys plan to start from the ground up, or basically take most of the old natural selection and bring it right into?
Well, when we started the game, of course, 3 years ago, there was no Half-Life 2, but, you know, clearly we would do it for Half-Life 2 if we were starting it over right now. We don't know exactly what we're doing as far as source goes, because we don't have our hands on the SDK yet. The mini SDK that's been released so far is, you know, really not enough to evaluate how long different features are going to take. So we really don't know, you know, if we're going to move NS or when or in what form. And the other big thing there is that we don't know how much of the community is going to move over, and we definitely don't want to switch engines on people if most of the community actually stays with NS. So, you guys want to expand on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, in all likelihood, it's not going to be accurate to call it a port, because we're most likely going to end up having to recreate most of our code and content in order to benefit from the source engine.
I actually think we'll be able to keep our code here, but, I mean, it will definitely be like a month or two of work to port the code, but the rest of it, I think, it's something like it's going to have to be redone. And I think a lot of our players would question whether we should move to a new engine and then give them the same game after months of work, or whether they'd want us to put those few months into actually improving the gameplay. So we have to weigh those decisions.
All right, and a quick question from a listener. What type of gameplay differences are planned? For example, like cloak detections, changes in favor of aliens, and that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, we really don't even know the capabilities of the engine yet. We haven't gotten to play with it. There's obviously so much cool stuff we can do with all these toys. We really just don't know yet. You know, only time will tell.
We could baffle you with all the awesome possibilities, but that really is just going to whet your appetite needlessly, because until we get down to actually planning out new features, there's no way of knowing what's possibly going to go in.
I mean,
we're really looking forward we're looking forward to the hopefully vastly improved VGUI. A lot of the current cool things about the game, like the commander view that makes it really different, are, you know, just basically clever hacks of the VGUI system and other things like that in Half-Life, which was pretty broken, as Charlie could definitely tell you. So we're hoping that there'll be big improvements there in the VGUI 2 system that we just don't have access to yet, that'll just open up things that people have been wanting in the game and that we've wanted in the game but haven't been able to implement for technical reasons.
Yeah, a lot of times people think that we're just ignoring their comments and their feedback, but a lot of times the things we really want to fix are just incredibly difficult, or the things that we fix, we could only fix by breaking something else. So hopefully Source will just allow us to really clean up a lot of things and just improve the overall quality of the game. Then we could start thinking about crazy new features.
And then we get to the fun part where we can sit there and talk about flamethrowers mounted on Onos and things like that.
Flamethrower would actually be finally possible, now that you mention it, without looking like the TFC cone of sprites.
Yeah.
Alright, so what are the big things you're looking forward to doing that weren't exactly possible in Half-Life 1 then, with the possibilities of porting to Source?
Oh, larger player numbers, volumetric weaponry, those are a few that come to mind for me. And then if you go into level design technology, you're able to get a lot more out of your maps in Half-Life 2 than you would have been able to in Half-Life 1.
Yeah, a lot of times the mappers can't even put in the atmospheric stuff that we wanted them to. you know, like sounds and ambient MP3s and particles and stuff, because the server performance just really drops when you go above, say, 200 or 300 entities. So hopefully that'll be fixed. And our PR guy, Zuni, is saying ragdoll physics. How can you forget? It's definitely be really cool, especially like shooting aliens and having their bodies twist in the air and slam up against walls and stuff.
Not to mention having the large aliens hitting the small marines.
I think the whole modeling in general is one of the areas that I'm really looking forward to seeing what we'll be able to do on the engine. From a little bit of a preview that we got, the biggest problem we've had with the models has been like we have these four-legged alien creatures, and it just really breaks a lot of the animations and a lot of the look of what you'd like to do with those kind of creatures in Half-Life. And in Half-Life 2, you've seen, you know, the preview of some of the alien creatures they have there, like the Striders and these big, you know, big three-legged things. So I'm thinking that based on the demos we saw, a lot of the animations are going to look really nice on the larger creatures, the oddball creatures with, you know, four legs instead of two.
And not to mention the texturing effects, the shaders. I mean, we could start having things like, you know, shiny fade carapace and, you know, glistening aliens, and we could start making them really pop.
All right, and while we're talking about, like, the improving technology and how you guys are going to have your style have to change, is basically your guys' mod has been interviewed many times, and hopefully this will be the most unique, as it's the penultimate day of the current modding era with Source coming out. How do you think modding style will change and adapt in future to cope with this improving technology?
About the only big thing I can think of right now is that team sizes are going to have to grow, just as the content requirements are getting larger with every new engine. Source is no exception, and we're definitely, I mean, NS is a small team already. We have around 10 members, probably on average, and that number is just going to have to keep going up just to handle, you know, the ability to, you know, create these complex creatures and things. So that's the biggest thing, bigger teams.
Personally, I think that rather than doubling or tripling the size of our team, we'd get a lot more benefit out of acquiring more efficient tools to help us create content and finding better ways to test the content. Basically just reducing the overhead on creating something so that we can put out more in less time.
Definitely. I think that's just smart game development in general, but most people don't understand that, so yeah, we just grow the team.
The complexity involved with, you know, we're moving from an engine that dates back to 98, right? So if we're talking about doing something on a new engine, now there's like all these things that are unlocked, which means all the technical people that are involved in creating the content have to be a lot more savvy and have to update their skill set. Whereas, you know, Half-Life's been around for so long that it's easy to find tutorials and it's easy to find people that have had at least some experience with it, but now we're in a whole new era. And people may decide that it's too complicated for them and they don't want to spend the time.
Yeah, and this is where you really have to hit the ground running and adapt to a new engine if you want to succeed in creating a mod. And I think that at this point in the game development universe, any company that is planning to have their game last longer than a year or so is going to have to leave the potential for mods to be created for that game.
Well, the nice thing, though, at least, I mean, yeah, you know, the technical requirements of the engine have grown, so, you know, it's harder to create content for it, but the nice thing is it sounds like Valve has really paid attention to, I mean, obviously they know mods are a big part of their success, so they're making sure that it's, you know, someone that's comfortable with Hammer and Model Viewer and QC files and RMFs and all that junk can actually get up and running with Source relatively quickly. And I know the code is supposed to port fairly easily, but NS is probably the biggest source base for code base for any mod, so that'll be a lot of work for us.
Yeah, I'm definitely pleased to see the improvements that they've made to the technology for solid entities to be able to move and have more than one property. That'll give us a lot of freedom to make the levels more a part of gameplay than they used to be.
Hopefully there's more than three hulls now, too, so we don't have the Onos, the crouched Onos that's the size of a standing player and all those bad things that people think are at fault.
Alright, sorry if I'm interrupting, everybody wants to say something, but a lot of people have been asking, what exactly is the buzz? that you guys have been mentioning, a lot of people are wondering exactly the main points of that.
Oh, I can answer that. That's how we're going to drive Grep to school in the morning.
Yes, it's a big oblong yellow thing. Actually, it's something that we've been talking about for a while internally, and we've been working on for many months. Carl Patrick, known as XPKG in the community, has been doing a great job on it, and all I can say is it's a big new system that we think is going to transform the way NS is played. And we wanted to tell everyone a little more about it, but we always get bitten every time we announce something early and then have to wait months before it's finished, so we're keeping our mouth shut.
Yeah, I think we'd be much better off keeping our mouths shut and just making it the most interesting and useful thing that we can, so that when it finally does come out, people will just be pleased and they won't mind having waited.
One thing that I can say about it is it's something that I don't believe any other games are doing, so I think it's going to be maybe not as unique as the first-person shooter real-time strategy angle, I'm not sure, but it's definitely a big, bold step that will really change the way games are played, I think. And actually, I might as well mention one other thing about that, just before they ask. We've been trying to get the first version of it into the game for a while, and we're going to have kind of the first hidden version of it. No one will know that it's in there. You won't be able to tell, but we probably will have the very first kind of version that we can test in Beta 6. And if that's the case, then we'll probably start to be more forthcoming with information because it'll be that much closer.
Yeah, that'll be more for our benefit to help us develop the system, not anything that any player will know exists.
Should clarify, by Beta 6, he means 3.0 Beta 6, since 3.0 is the next release version of NS, and we're working on and closed beta testing that right now.
Alright, and people are wondering, with like the plans, with all plans ahead, are there any plans for new aliens or races in NS?
I don't know. We've worked so hard to get the game balanced at this point that adding a big new alien like that might be a lot of work. So, I'm not sure yet. We don't know. The future is wide open because we got to see what we're doing with Source first, and then we can talk about it.
That definitely falls into the category of big, awesome things that we might be able to do with the Source engine, but we haven't decided yet.
The scariest thing there is not even the amount of work involved with actually creating it, it's the work in keeping it balanced. So that's really the big cost there.
Alright. I'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say nothing important.
Alright, somebody was saying, will NS ever focus more on strategic gameplay than action gameplay? He says that we see in the majority of Half-Life and Half-Life 2 mods focus on action, but many people are longing for exciting alternate gameplay, similar to what Bloodlines is doing with the Source engine. Something new and refreshing from FPS madness.
I can answer that one. When we started NS, I really had the idea that there's going to be more of a strategic element, and I had kind of designed it originally as, like I always used to say, like a strategy game with a first-person front. As we got to testing it, it just became really clear that that's just not the way to go, and nobody wants to play a first-person shooter where the outcome of the game is dependent on someone else. Like, the core tenet of a first-person shooter is that skill has to matter, and people on the ground with weapons have to matter. So I'm actually pretty happy with the current strategic elements in NS. I feel like they do affect the game, and they are an interesting, diverse part of the game that makes it unique, and they do, you know, affect the outcome, but people on the ground are always going to be a big part of it. So I don't really see the current balance between the strategic and action components changing much in the future. I think we've got it pretty much right.
Yeah, if you think heavily about the strategy aspect of RTS games, you have counters and such, and if you bring that element into an FPS game, then you have players that are dealing with those counters. Nobody wants to be a Zergling against a Firebat.
Exactly. Hard counters are just really painful in a first-person shooter environment, as we found out the hard way.
Alright, now how exactly did you guys all come together and come up with the whole idea for NS? Because NS is, of course, a unique way to gameplay, because like you said, it's basically StarCraft mixed with a first-person shooter and Quake all at once, and it does have a lot of mayhem in it. And how did you guys, like, get together and come up with the whole idea in the first place?
Like, I guess I've just always been fascinated with the idea of a commander in an online game, and a game where the strategy elements enhance the action elements, and the action elements enhance the strategy elements. That kind of drama just really appeals to me. When you have a commander who's, you know, in a way responsible for the fate of his guys on the ground, and the guys on the ground praying that the commander has noticed them and can save them. So, I don't know, it just kind of resonated with me. And of course it grew and changed too. It wasn't like it was all conceived on a piece of paper and then built and then it worked perfectly. It was just kind of those basic ideas in that direction, and then we just worked really hard for a really long period of time until what we have today.
Yeah, if you'd seen some of the older design documents, you would definitely scratch your head.
Hey!
With amazement. The game has changed significantly from version to version.
With amazement.
I especially like the part about the aliens looking like human organs.
Oh, see, that was, yeah. Actually, that was Corey's idea, because when we're trying to figure out, Corey squealed like a pig, Strader, who's not here right now, but who's the lead artist on NS, and is actually not really involved with it anymore. But one of his ideas when we were brainstorming alien concepts was, yeah, aliens as organs, which was just a really disgusting thing. And another one, I think, along those lines was aliens as amputees, which is where you'd have aliens who are kind of humanoid, but kind of missing appendages. So they would, like, hobble around one-legged and fake crutches, kind of, with, you know, bone arms and stuff. Just kind of gross.
Yeah, then you could bunny flop.
So the game has changed a lot since those original design documents, is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, there were some initial docs, I think, too, if I remember right, Charlie, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, that had the alien team also having a commander, whereas now it's sort of morphed into everyone's on an equal playing field, and you have to sort of organically decide who's doing what job at what time, but there's no real one person running the show.
Actually, I don't remember ever a time where there was an alien commander, though, I mean, I definitely had brainstormed ideas about, like, an alien queen kind of player, but it was never top-down.
Yeah, that's a suck amount. Oh, okay, the queen was
top-down,
I didn't remember, yeah.
I probably didn't describe it, but I was thinking it'd be kind of cool to have a giant kind of a mobile queen where one player is, you know, inside this dark kind of wet environment and can just hear things around and has, like, an alternate view of the level and is making strategic decisions. But then when it comes down to implementation, it's like, well, who wants to play the giant immobile alien?
Yeah, where your team loses if you die.
Yeah, and you're not even, like, in FPS mode at all. It's like, well, maybe that's not going to work.
Yeah, that was actually brought up as a question, so I'm sort of glad that you answered that ahead of time. Also, though, in regard to X, what are the biggest changes that are going to be in it? And will Beta 6 be the last version prior to the possibilities of being ported to Source?
Go ahead, Charlie.
Me? I think that's you.
I'll take the first part of the question.
Well, Grep.
No. Grep, you should take the second part about it being the final version or not. You should handle that.
Oh, lovely. Give me the hard question. Well, I was going to say, Zuni's been trickling out bits and pieces of the chainsaw, and so I don't want to steal any thunder. I was just going to answer vaguely, and then you can cap on top of that here. So I think in general, 3.0, once we get it to a released state, is going to present some serious challenges for the community, as they know the game now. Right now, the Marines have a really easy time, especially in large games. If you see a 10-on-10 game, Marines usually roll over the aliens pretty easily if they work well together, because they have just such an economy of scale in their upgrades. We've made a lot of changes to help balance that out so that in large games, the aliens will have a chance. And so that's some of the... There are many little specific changes I don't want to spoil, but basically giving the aliens some parity and making sure that they're not going to get overrun by just this huge crowd of Marines in large games.
I think you can give away whatever whatever you want. I mean,
well, let's not get too specific at the exact.
Okay.
Grip handled that pretty well, so I'll go on to the question of whether or not Beta 6 will be the final release before we start porting to Source. I'm going to start that off by saying that when we started developing Beta 6, we had a goal of finishing everything we wanted to finish with it before we released it. And toward that end, we started making a lot of large changes and small optimizations, things that we've wanted to fix for a long time. But what it really comes down to is that anytime you release software, there are unforeseen problems that come up, some of them severe, some of them not so severe. So really, the question of whether Beta 6 will be the final release on the Half-Life 1 engine cannot be answered until after it's out.
And we still haven't committed, of course, to Source. Sorry, I just want to make... I don't want people to get the wrong idea, because we have no idea if we're moving to Source or not. We all want to. We hope the community is going to go there, and we hope that the SDK is going to be great, and it's not going to take years of work, but we don't know if we're going to Source yet. Proceed.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I think we'll definitely see another full beta build after 3.0 Beta 6. There will probably be a 3.0 Beta 7, I'm assuming, once we get into further stages of testing and get more players involved. There are going to have to be some tweaks. There always are. But we're continuing to work on a lot of major features and major balance changes that basically people have been asking for a long time. And right now we're in a good spot with the coders we have. They've been just fixing things left and right behind the scenes. So a lot of people don't see that, but make sure to thank all our coders when you see them next on IRC.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Beta 6 is going to be a really great new base for gameplay because it has changed so radically, and we really did fix a lot of things gameplay-wise and technically that people want to fix for a long time. We're going to see different chamber orders and lots of cool stuff. One thing I was going to say, what was I going to say there? We did change some of our development processes behind the scenes, so we actually will be able to kind of embark on grand new projects while still being able to patch the current version. So if we do decide to go to Source, then we can still release patches for Beta 7 pretty easily. So
yeah, we definitely gotten a lot more organized since getting this team back together after the long hiatus. As you all know, there was a long wait between Beta 4 and Beta 5, and now that we're working on Beta 6, we had resolved not to make just another bug fix patch. We're putting in a lot of the things you guys have been asking for, a lot of the large changes that needed to be made. And this next version should make everybody, well, for the most part, everybody really happy.
Make everybody happy? That's impossible.
Yeah, you notice I stopped myself there. I was
yeah,
going to
I know
the,
you knew what you're saying.
Miracles and wishes category.
Yeah, I think that players should be expecting, you know, just as there was a big shift, a major paradigm shift in the way you play from like 1.0 to 2.0, where, you know, you went from having a single gorge and then to many gorges, that kind of change, you know, the things that you used to say, oh no, somebody just did that, it's thrown out the window. Like sensory first. Sensory is definitely going to be viable as a first chamber. We're trying as much as possible to make it, you know, so that each of the chambers have their own advantages and disadvantages, and each team can weigh those and actually use them as opposed to feeling disadvantaged by choosing one over the other.
Yeah, the biggest thing is going to be that people are going to have to adapt. If people attempt to play Beta 6 the way they play Beta 5, they're going to get a rude awakening that some of the older, cheaper strategies don't necessarily work anymore. Marines are going to need a little more teamwork this time, and basically people are just going to have to hit the ground running and adapt their playstyle.
Was there another part of your question? I thought we might have skipped it.
I think we got it. The second part was if 3.0 Beta 6 was going to be the final build.
Okay, yeah. We basically just don't know yet.
All right. I guess I'll go on to a question about your whole entire community. You guys are, like, really in touch with the community. You guys have really listened to the community and added what people have asked to be put in, thought about things and changed it around. What qualities of your mod and your team do you think help achieve that?
Patience.
Patience and me being less involved with the day-to-day and giving up some control, because that's, you know, these guys play a lot more than I do and they're much better at it than I am, so they have a lot more influence over the game now, which is ultimately a really good thing. I mean, I'm still involved with, like, all the feature choices, and I have the final say still, but I've definitely finally gotten better about kind of listening to people and understanding when people know something better than I do.
As far as the interface with the community, too, we've had, for a very long time, for as long as the community's been around, and longer than Tyr and I have been in it, there have been folks specifically dedicated to helping manage the community environment. So there have been IRC operators and forum moderators that have worked very tirelessly to keep those places, you know, productive and enjoyable for everyone that comes. And some of those folks don't even really get the chance to play the game that much. I mean, they're just dedicated so much to the community, and that's what they're about. And that's been especially helpful, having those guys that are really good at being diplomatic, like Nemesis Zero, and as the community lead. He's dealt with a lot of, you know, folks that kind of maybe had a little problem at first adapting and playing nice on the forums, but brought them back into the fold. And I think instead of just, you know, shutting people out, the tendency to be really inclusive whenever possible has been one of the greatest parts about being a part of this community.
If it was us that had to deal with those things, I think our heads would explode. And another thing I wanted to point out is, for the longest time, we had an ideas and suggestions forum that was pretty much never touched. Sort of a hole in which ideas got thrown, and occasionally we'd pick one out of there, but it was largely unmoderated and sort of difficult to deal with. And when we brought Zunny on board, who unfortunately doesn't have a mic, so he can't speak for himself at the moment, he stepped into this scary place and made it into a really useful repository of ideas. I mean, he waded through all those ideas and picked out the good ones, and really he's put many hours of work into that so that we could have that resource available to us.
Yeah, I was going to say one other thing there is, if you ever hang out on any gaming forums in general, if you're used to the NS forums and then you like go to something on, you know, maybe the Counter-Strike forums or some GameSpy forums for some other random game, it's pretty obvious how much work goes into kind of keeping people in line and keeping it a polite place to hang out. And it's easy to get spoiled, and I'm just really glad Nemesis Zero and his legions of folks have been doing such a great job for literally years at this point.
All right, this is going back to the actual gaming of NS. This is for you, Flayra. Are you going to enable the vet program again?
Nope. That was it was really great for a while, and actually I think we got a lot of good feedback out of that, and I'd hate to think of what 2.0 would have been if we didn't have the vet community. But ultimately, it became obvious that running that was just took so much time that we're kind of moving towards a model where we release betas publicly as much as possible, if you can believe that. This is as much as possible, and not trying to balance the game kind of internally. So we're not going to be doing that anymore.
All right, and another one for you, Flayra. When is the ATI tournament going to be?
I really don't know. At some point, I got a little crazy, and I just started adding projects without really thinking. And the ATI tournament was one of those things that I thought would just be really easy to run, and it turns out that actually it's not, and it's a huge amount of work. So we still have the prizes around, and it's been like a year, and I really apologize since we announced that. I really don't know when that's going to happen or who's going to run it, but if anyone has experience running a big tournament like that and knows NS and wants to do that for us, we would definitely be open to listening to them. It's just we don't have time to run it ourselves. It's just a major undertaking.
Alright, and are there any plans of NS teaming up with the Valve team, making NS an official mod of Half-Life, like CS or DoD?
Yeah, they've been real supportive in that area. Actually, we got it technically working on Steam a couple years ago. We really don't know, I'm not really sure what the status is. I think that Valve has been so busy with Half-Life 2, imagine that they didn't want to spend any effort getting NS onto Steam. But I think as soon as we release Beta 6, I'm guessing that, you know, they'll be ready to put NS on Steam at that point.
Go ahead. More than one side to that question, Charlie. He might have been asking you if we planned on being taken under Valve's wing and sort of becoming an official mod the way Counter-Strike and DoD have.
For that to happen, I think Valve has to buy the rights to you. At least that's what they've done with DoD and CS, and they have not offered, and I'm not interested. So I don't think that's ever going to happen. I mean, and the reason why is, I mean, I'm not sure why they wouldn't be interested, or maybe they are interested, but I haven't heard, whatever. But I'm starting a company based on the NS franchise, so I want to do other games in the NS universe, and I can't do that if I sell it, so. Oh, and Zidney is saying, give the name. The company is called Unknown Worlds Entertainment, and it's www.unknownworlds.com. And you should definitely look for some announcements coming soon from there.
All right, and if anybody didn't get that, we'll be pasting it in our channels, unknownworlds.com, was it?
Yep, one word, Unknown Worlds. And I can give a little more information there if you're interested.
All right, you can go ahead and speak out on it.
Well, don't have any specific details to give out really yet, but... just so people know the direction we're headed. Basically, we're looking for investors, and we're going to do a full-fledged retail game in the NS universe, and, you know, a AAA-type game on some new engine, like either Source or Unreal Engine 3 or one of those cool new engines. And basically, if you liked NS, you're just going to die when you see what's coming next, because it's a huge step forward, and I'm really excited about it. So don't get too excited too soon, because it's going to be a little while before anyone sees anything, but it's definitely coming, and you definitely keep your eyes out for it.
All right, here's a big question, because you guys have obviously been a big mod out there for a while, since, like, almost some would say the beginning of their Half-Life experience. This is how, like, a lot of people... What a lot of people have turned to between NCS, they'd go to NS to try something new, and it actually got a lot of people to stick to NS. Basically, you guys have been a big, big mod out there. And what would you like to extend or say to other modders who want to create a mod as popular as yours, especially with Source coming out and a lot of modders wanting to mod to the new Source engine?
You guys want to take that? I mean, I can babble, but...
I was going to give you the first crack, Charlie. I mean, this is your creative vision for NS as of, what, 2-3 years ago, right? So you've seen the evolution of the team and the game and the community.
I'll give one little bit of advice. Don't make a bunch of news announcements about your game until you have it well underway and you have a committed team that isn't going to abandon you at the last moment, because nothing sours a community like a team that makes all sorts of... promises of a game they're going to create and then cans it at the last moment. So definitely make a lot of plans, make a lot of strong plans before you commit to the community, you know?
Basically what I would say there is definitely that's true, but also that I kind of always say the same things here, but because it's a really common question. I get a lot of email about it, but basically mod development is a whole heck of a lot like game development, and there's a couple small differences, but basically if you're writing a mod, you're making a game, and so you should treat it professionally, and, you know, you should have expertise, and you should be, you know, always learning, and you should be, you know, reading stuff on the IGDA websites, and read everything you can about game development, because it all applies. And so basically you need to, what I like to say is, you want to make the smallest thing you possibly can that will actually make you happy and make your time worthwhile. So you don't want a huge game design document that just, it has like sprawling worlds and, dozens of levels and a million weapons. Just basically aim for something that's as small as you can possibly make it and still be happy with the results. If that's, one level with one kind of interesting new take on gameplay, then just refine it down to that, create that. Doesn't even have to have like finished textures or art or anything. Just finish that, get it working, get it out to the testers, release a public beta, take their feedback, and then do the next version. Just basically get a version out there as soon as you possibly can that actually shows people why your game is special. And if you can't sum up why your game is special pretty simply, usually in a sentence or two, then you should rethink your game design probably and make sure that it's really going to stand apart from the other games out there. I can talk more if you want.
I'll say a bit. I think in the case of a mod, you have to do it for you. You can't do it to try to make money or, make a lot of people think your game is cool. You're going to have a clear vision that that's something that you really want to do. And then the really tough part is finding a team that can help you do that, that you work well together. We've been really fortunate in the NS dev team. Right now we're doing really well. We've got folks that in their day jobs, they're professional coders, and we've got them working on our game code. And other people with professional backgrounds in other areas that are helping, like Zunny, right? I mean, he's a regular office dork like the rest of us during the day, but then he gets to be PR manager of a cool game by night. So, you find dedicated professional people. And, oh, he's a developer, he said. Okay, sorry. That falls under office geek.
Big difference.
So you find professional people, whether that means, they have a professional job, or even if they're just, they know how to behave in a professional way and make and keep commitments. I think Nemesis Zero is one of the coolest examples of that. I mean, he runs our whole community, and he's a college student in Germany. So not only is he dealing with an entire community speaking in a language that's a second language to him, but that he does speak very well. But, he's young, too, but he's very, very professional, very courteous to people. And I think that's very important to have a team that, has that level of professionalism.
Not to pat too many people on the back, but, Grep-V, Joel, the guy I was just talking, has a real talent for bugs. He can find... I've never worked with anyone in QA like him, and I've worked at a lot of game companies. And the only way that you get people that can do that is by showing the public at large that you have something special to offer. The only way to do that is if you're a project leader, like a mod leader, then you better have something that's just really cool and do it well. And once you get it out there, then the people start coming to you. Don't try to find the best team you can expecting that they're going to come work for you after you haven't shown them anything.
Yeah.
You need to show them an incredible document or an incredible first level or an incredible few concept pieces or, incredible organizational skills, something. But show people what you have, make it unique, make it high quality, and slowly the people start coming to you.
Yeah, you can't build a good team off paperware.
And actually, let me just say one other specific thing there, too. The other reason why the team that we have is no accident is because we've hired really, really slowly. So that's something that I've learned from other game companies, is you basically, you wait for the perfect people to come along and then you hire them. You never, if you ever have any doubts about someone, you just don't take them on. And that includes for a mod team, even though when you're not paying them, it's still really important. So find the people that are perfect and then bring them on. If you ever have any doubts, don't.
All right, this is a question from Rinshai. He's basically saying, is NS your guys' occupations, and what do you guys do outside of the whole gaming community? Grab you first.
Yeah, you're going to say that. Well, in real life, I work in information technology, managing servers and data centers. So it's, regular nerd job. My degree is in computer and information science. As far as if I'd ever want to make really gaming in general a career, I don't know. It's very different from what I've done in my career so far. I'd probably consider it, but it's one of those things where, it's nice to have a steady income and not have to worry about, you know, feeding your family and having a place to live. So it's
working 8-hour weeks.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Killing yourself because it's that startup environment where you're just working so hard and putting everything into it. I don't know if I could do it or not. Charlie's done it. He's living it, so he can tell you the other end of it. I've just really enjoyed and been grateful for the opportunity to work in this sort of crossover point, right, where, you know, you give a lot of time, but it's very rewarding for what you give because there's already that extra structure and you're not really taking a risk since you're not going full out and taking it as a career, but you get to enjoy being part of the community and contributing to a game that you came to and really enjoyed as just a player to start with.
I've been making games professionally for about 10 years, and it's the only profession for me. I'm actually the only person on the team, I think, that's working on it full-time, and I'm lucky enough to live off the Constellation donations, which is, I have to say, a fairly meager living, but it definitely, I'm grateful for it, and it pays the bills right now, almost pays the bills. But, I mean, I'm working full-time on starting the company and starting to work on the next game while these guys kind of take over and, you know, kind of run NS with light guidance from me whenever possible. So I'm hoping to keep doing this and keep doing games in the NS universe, and, you know, the NS is technically my life, I guess.
I'll say briefly that I'm still young, so I have the freedom to live off a very small income. But I definitely want to make my way into the video game development industry, and that's kind of what I'm starting to build a foundation for here by being involved in a project where we work professionally with a lot of people, you know.
And Zuni, our PR guy, works as a software developer. He says he's married with a kid, which I actually didn't know. I don't know if he wants to move into games professionally or not, but I'm guessing he likes the cushy paycheck and 40-hour weeks.
And he loves his daughter very much.
Family, who needs family?
I agree.
No, I don't know.
My family is
definitely a trade-off. Ages. There you go.
Family is always good support, though.
Yeah, it's just tough in the gaming community. You can do it, but usually by the time... most of the people I've worked with in the past haven't had families, and it's tough. I mean, you either get to me and decide that you don't want to do this anymore, and then you go have a family and have a great life, or you kind of stick with it, and hopefully you made the right choice. It's a tough choice, though.
Yeah, if you're going to go for development...
I think, personally, you can do both, and I'm hoping to, but you definitely... it requires a special environment for that, and you need to either run things, or you need to find a great company that actually knows what they're doing so you don't have to work crazy hours.
I think Grep's wife would strangle him if he did this 80 hours a week.
Yeah, she would. She's very patient to let me do it as much as she does, but 80 hours a week would be a no-go. Thanks.
I mean, it's fun for a while, but...
Well, if you really get wrapped up in the creation process, those hours can go by without you even really noticing, but you really have to love what you're doing.
It's more than hours, it's years, but yeah, definitely. And big shout out to all the Constellation members who've paid my bills for a year and a half or so by now. It's really been great, and like, we wouldn't have seen 2-0, we wouldn't have seen 3-0, I don't think, and you wouldn't be seeing the next game, so massive love to y'all.
Alright, I got a quick personal question from me for you guys. What was your biggest achievement in NS, and what was probably your favorite thing about what you did with Natural Selection?
I'll take that one, unless you guys got one on tap.
We'll I'll do them. You go first.
Yeah, I was just saying, give you time to think. I think for me it was when I started to, I think it was Grendel, upon, you know, and he knows how to hide bodies, so you really had to watch out.
Okay.
But that's when Charlie and I first started talking a little bit, was via just an occasional email. I'd send him just a hit list of these really big, you know, game breaking bugs or crashes or something, and because he wanted to have those, it was just too much to try to wade through everybody's stuff of, you know, is it a bug, is it not a bug, and then once we got through that version, that was leading up to 2.0. Once we got that done, then I begged him to wait, and don't worry, I'll be the only one entering the bugs, so you won't have to worry about, you know, reproduction steps being missing or not really being a bug or something like that. So we started it that way.
I lost. It's a bug. That would have been the quality of the bug reports if you hadn't done that, probably.
Yeah, I lost. Fix it.
It still exists now.
Yeah. So that, I think, was my biggest contribution, lasting contribution in NS. I mean, it's been a year now that since the bug database started, and I think we're in the 900s for issues that we've had logged, bugs and features and all those gameplay changes. So it's felt really good to see that come to life, and that it ended up being manageable and really helped, you know, identify issues so that we could take them one at a time and prioritize what work we wanted to do on, you know, each version. I think that helped a lot for the planning.
Definitely. Tier?
Oh, I'm sorry, what were you talking about?
What's your favorite contribution?
Oh geez, it's got to be just the way that we built up a foundation to get everything running smoothly. Everybody had a part in that, and I'm glad for my part in it too. You know, when Grip and I started the specific arm of the bug tracker to handle map related issues, that was the beginning of me becoming the level design QA lead. And in that first couple days when we got that online, I managed to log a couple hundred bugs related specifically to levels. It was our weak point at the time.
Yeah, props to Ari for coming up with that idea.
I guess just the cool thing is that a year ago I was nobody. I mean, I had just played NS for the first time, and I think it's cool that somebody who has something to contribute can work their way into the community here and become useful.
And my favorite thing probably about NS is probably the massive differentiation between the Marines and the aliens. And that obviously is a huge amount of work with you know, one side has a commander, one doesn't. One side has, like, fixed starting resources, the other one doesn't. They, you know, they build totally differently. It's kind of a mess, actually, when you think about it. It may not have been the right choice, but I just am really happy to see that the two sides really are completely different. I mean, it's kind of the way StarCraft was. I mean, they didn't really innovate anything except how different the sides were, and it really made the game. So, I hope it was worth the effort, but I feel like NS actually achieved that.
Yeah, only about 3 or 4 more minutes left, so I was wondering if you guys have any closing statements with the future of NS, any closing statements with how tonight's going to be, how your past has been, whatever you'd like to say in like the next few minutes about natural selection.
Take it away.
Well, as soon as Half-Life 2 is officially released, I'm going to disappear into a cave and nobody's going to see me for several days. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. I'd also like to point out that I'm going to kill Hellebeen and bury his corpse in a shallow grave.
I think Hellebeen is responsible for everything bad that happens in NS, the game, and the community, just FYI. The one thing I was going to say about NS probably is we're not going away, and, you know, we're... People always say, oh, yeah, NS is dying, NS is living, it's growing, it's shrinking, whatever, but this, you know, flavor is gone, the game's going to stop, whatever, there's a new, you know, X new team members, whatever, but basically this game is going to keep going forward. I can't even project a possible time in the future when we're not going to keep actively developing it. So basically just stick around, we're just getting started.
Yeah, we're all here because we really love this game right down to its concept, and we really enjoy developing it, so I don't think any of us plans to stop anytime soon.
And if someone does, someone else will come in and take over, so.
If we kill Grep, 2 more will take his place.
Yeah, it's been sad to see people go, though. We've had some really talented people that have been part of the coding or mapping, and some of them have gone on to other jobs in the industry. So, it just shows the level of skill that we've had in the dev team to date.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of people to companies right now, So maybe someday we can get the finances in better shape and we can afford to kind of lure them back or keep people here somehow. I don't know. I guess it's just natural.
We had one of our mappers go on to work for Raven. We had one of our coders go to work for EA on Medal of Honor Pacific Assault. What else do you know?
There's so many more. Cadaver went on to Elixir. There's two guys went to Raven, right? One guy went to a company that went out of business. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Sort of a tangent that we got off on there.
But yeah, stick around. We're going to keep working on NS, and we're going to hopefully adapt to the new technology that's coming, and I'd like to tie NS into the next game, and I'd like the community that we have to just continue playing all the games that come out in this universe, and hopefully everyone will like them because they're cohesive.
And if I have anything to say about it, we'll have flamethrowing Onoses and lurks that hover without flapping. And
okay, that's just about enough.
All right, well, we got two last questions, and then that's when we're going to have to close it up. So sorry to ask these, but one for Flayra is, what do you think of community programs like NS Learn?
NS Learn owns. They have a lot of great content. That's basically all I know. There are a bunch of community programs that aren't very good, and there's some that are great. And I don't know, I'm glad that they exist, and I'm glad that they're giving back to the community because they're teaching, they're really filling a role that isn't filled anywhere else, which is kind of how you actually play the game. There's the manual, which kind of gives you the basics, but that's not how you actually play. So, we love seeing sites like that, especially when they're frequently updated and well-presented.
I think you should just clear this up for, people that are just tuning in. They're still wondering, are you going to release a game on Source for a natural selection?
Short answer is, we have no idea. We want to, and we think everyone would be excited about it, but there's a lot of technical issues that we have to watch for. And we really have no idea how much work it would be. And if it's going to end up by being a 2-year effort, then we might just skip it. So we're going to look at it as soon as the SDK is ready.
That's more of a medium answer. I'd say the shorter answer is
medium. Okay, sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
All right, well, then I'd just like to thank you guys for coming to Game Surge Radio and participating in this interview and answering the questions. It was a pleasure to have you guys here and answering everything.
Thanks a lot, yeah.
It was fun.
Big props to Game Surge and Andy and Anti and all the guys who put this together. It's been fun.
And I want to give a big shout out to everybody that's helped us make this game great by reporting bugs and helping me out with testing and everything, and to our coders that put out all this time. Everybody, basically.
And the Constellation members, you rock.
Definitely.
And if any of you would like to give me money also, I would not mind.
I had to set up PayPal.
All right, once again, thank you guys. We're going to go to Deffy now, who will be going on with the rest of the shows. Just take it away, Deffy, or Defy. My bad for messing up your name once again, man.
That's all good. We're going to take it away right here. Virtuoso has now, he's come on air. What's going on, Virtuoso?
Nothing much. I am here, me and Defy will be taking you throughout the night. I am DJ Virtuoso. You're tuned to the Half-Life 2 Relief Party Show, GSR, Half-Life 2 Database, being hosted by... First off, Defy, how you feeling tonight? How long have you been on air, dude?
I have been on air starting since 12 p.m. Pacific, so we're getting into, let's see, what is this? We're becoming 8 o'clock right now, so this is like good 6, 7, 8 hours into it.
Is your like brain juices still flowing, dude? You still feeling the vibe?
Oh, I'm feeling it. We've got lots of stuff going on. We've already heard from Eternal Silence Mod. We had a great interview earlier. Insurgency Mod had a great interview. Natural Selection, who we just finished up with, was a great interview. And then, of course, we've been interviewing all night Pound Steam Hangout and Pound Steam's Renshai, along with Cooney a little bit earlier. And they've been giving us some great up-to-the-minute updates and answering some of your questions. It's been a great event so far. and got lots more planned for you guys.
Awesome, awesome. And upcoming, in a couple minutes, me and Defy, we're going to be going over and interviewing the guys from Half-Life 2 Database. And later on, we're going to do some Sven co-op. And of course, we're going to have the HL2 release at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for you guys over on the West Coast. That's midnight tonight. So, Defy, we just about ready? We're ready to go over interviews or whatever?
I just gotta take care of a little promotional business right quick, and we'll jump into that right after that. So just give me 1 second while I play these promos, and then we'll jump in there. So you can head on in there, and I'll meet you there.